B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
For 6 months, the Milwaukee Bucks have cut a swath through the NBA. The runaway best team in the league have yet to face adversity until today. The Celtics' hope was to come here and punch him in the mouth. Instead, they drop an anvil on their head. They dominate game one, and they win it by a final of 112-90. And take a stunning 1-0 lead in this best of seven Eastern Conference semifinals.
The Boogeyman.
That's Sean Grandy, boy. Watches a lot of Roadrunner cartoons.
Up with anvil,
it's so descriptive. That massive anvil right on her head. That was an ass kicking, huh?
Hell of a win. Whoa. I wouldn't call it an ass kicking.
Well, I thought, hey, from Big Al's standpoint, that was an ass kicking.
Oh, Big Al had himself a day.
Wow,
Big Al, that's playoff Al right there.
Jesus,
that's playoff Kyrie, playoff Al. And you know who was third on the list?
Gordon. Yep, with Jaylen Brown right after that.
Beatles playoff prediction from 3 months ago coming true. Can I take a victory lap?
Jim.
Can I take my victory lap? Not only that. My confidence in the Celtics is being rewarded right now. They haven't lost a game yet. They haven't lost a playoff game. They're 5-0 in these playoffs.
Okay, let's get to the next round.
So Beatles' big takeaway from game one is, I was right,
and I was right. That is my big takeaway. Marcus Smart. What are we going to do without Marcus Smart? Look at your team. They flipped the switch. This was really the question, right? Were they going to flip the damn switch or not?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. They did. I was having a hard time believing. This is what we all doubted. Come on, guys. Play better in the final month. Please. Have a gradual build-up to the playoffs. No, they all just flipped the damn switch. Like, no big deal.
Welcome to the league.
They just did it, and they feel it, and they feel, you know, the gravity of these games, and they have responded to it, and they went on the road, and they played... They played a good game, and I would not call it an ass-kicking because they took a lead in that first half. They then watched Milwaukee go on a 15-0 run and tie the game. I mean, that was a good, entertaining game. I don't know how you guys felt about the game itself. That was a good game. That was just a good playoff game to watch.
Nobody can make a shot at the beginning.
Far more enjoyable from the Boston side because the Celtics outscored the Bucks, I think, 60-40 in the second half. But it was a good, entertaining basketball game.
I think Milwaukee's terrible to watch. I hate their style.
They take these unconscious shots from almost to make court.
So,
and then when they don't hit them, they just keep shooting.
It's a bunch of guys in the perimeter, and Giannis gets to drive the lane.
Yep.
And he kicks out, or he takes it to the hole, gets to the foul line, or the other guys shoot these terrible three-pointers. Now, there's going to be one of those games where they all go in and the Celtics lose by 25. We know it's coming.
Yeah.
But it's still an ugly style
to watch. They closed that first gap, though, you thought, uh-oh. You know, and then it got to two and it tied, and then, okay, it's 2 points at the half, but...
Yeah, they weren't going away easy. That, you know, the end of the first half was a flurry of scoring both ways before halftime.
Did you hear Paul Pierce after the
Paul
game?
Pierce is declaring the series over. It's over. Let's see if Milwaukee wins the game. I would say pump the brakes, Paul.
You know what?
Paul, slow down. Slow down.
But if he's watching it, he knows it. He goes, they got their number. It's a better team.
I don't know that the 25-point loss is coming, though. That's the one I disagree with.
Maybe not, but let's do it like this. We can all sit here and say about how great the Celtics were. They were. We all know it. They played a great game yesterday. Big Al, awesome game, doing it all. Third quarter, fabulous coming out in that third quarter, the way they just came out and took over the game in that second half. Awesome. Great win. Statement win, I think, for the Celtics to start this series. They should be right up. They should be taking over some real estate in the heads of the Milwaukee Bucks to start this series. What scares you about the Bucks going forward? There's a couple of things. Number one, there were far too many possessions in that first half where Giannis did not drive the lane, and they did take dumb shots. Because if I were Milwaukee, I would make that be mandatory on every single possession. Not 70%, not 80% of the possessions.
Yeah.
Every single possession, Giannis has to have the basketball in the paint. Every single time. And there were too many possessions where I just thought they settled for bad shots. And here's the other fear I have about Milwaukee, that they're not going to shoot 34%. That they're going to start hitting some of their shots. And you're going to be looking at a different game. They shot 34% from the field yesterday. Something tells me that's not going to hold up. You're not going to get that performance every game. They're going to start hitting some more shots. And especially if Brogdon comes back, they're going to hit more shots.
Yeah. Yep.
And you're going to be looking at different games, which is why I would never write off the Bucks after one game. Great win, statement win. You've taken away the home court advantage. All of those are big, valuable things. I like the Celtics in this series, but Paul Pierce needs to slow down. Slow down, Paul.
Also, Budenholzer can play one card. He's been resting Giannis. I've heard this all year. It's amazing Giannis' stats because he's only playing 32 minutes a game. I just checked. He only played 34 minutes yesterday in a playoff game. Is that all he can go because he works so hard and runs up and down the floor so quickly? Like, is that all his body can take? Because if not, if they start playing him 40 minutes, maybe it's a little different story.
Okay, but he played 34 minutes, but he also led the team in minutes, did he not? He doesn't play anybody a lot of minutes.
Yeah, but it seemed like there were some sequences where just
maybe
he has
to
lift.
In the playoffs. Maybe he needs to start doing that.
That might change, though. You're right. I get what you're saying. That might actually change, and you might all of a sudden get 40 minutes of him instead of 34.
If they fall down 0-2, they're going to start playing him more and
they
see what happens.
To.
But
you
can he take it? Can he handle it? Is he a guy that just can't handle that many minutes?
Know.
I don't know.
I have no idea. I mean, he looks pretty damn fit to me.
Yeah.
He is unbelievable.
Should.
Oh, he's so good. He's so good. He gets better year by year. How many years has he been in the league now? Like six?
Like 24,
if that,
right?
Seven?
If that. And maybe, hey, it was his Easter yesterday, too. Greek Orthodox Easter. Oh, so maybe that warmed down. We had a call asking about that last week.
How many
week.
Years has he been in the league? Yeah. 2013 he came in. Yeah, this is sixth year. Sixth year in the league. Can you imagine you're
24 years old, 24 in like 4 months.
Can you imagine you're in your sixth year, you're 24 years old, and you're great, you're one of the best players in the league. You might be the first guy that any team would draft number one if you were to redraft the league, and you know he's going to be better. He's just getting better all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, he's what an awesome player to watch. But anyway, that's just a sidetrack thing. Do we know it was his Easter, by the way?
I'm not sure if he's Greek Orthodox, but
I don't know. Everyone just said, I just.
So what if it was?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought of that yesterday. I'm like, how do we even know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Christos Aneste.
Those are some of the things I fear, though. That they shoot better than 34%.
But there's not one guy that you fear. There's not one guy outside of Giannis that you're like,
you don't.
I'm afraid of this guy.
It's a one-man record.
Maybe Middleton, but I don't know. For some reason, I downplay him all the time. I don't think he's as
Celtics are a more balanced team. That's what you came away. And I think that's what Pierce is saying. He's like, he knows how good Kyrie is. And now I think seeing it in person, like, hey, you know what? Gordon's there now. He's almost back to what he was. And it's everybody else with like Tatum. You didn't need Tatum to explode yesterday. You know, you're going in that fourth quarter, Tatum had like 4 freaking points. 4 points, 5 boards. Heard Max talking about it. He's like, you haven't even had Jason Tatum, you know, exploding this game.
617-779-0985. Celtics off to a great start in their series. Let's talk about that. Your calls on Celtics, Bruins,
Pats.
Draft, Pats, all of it. We'll do all of it next. Open lines right now. Grab one.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Six 617-779-0985.
You know what?
What?
I know we're jammed on calls here on sports.
Sports.
I'm not taking away your man card, but if you went to Cher last night, you call me and you tell me how good it was. And I ain't gonna make fun of you.
Oh, I hope it was the best damn show you ever saw to push the Bruins series ahead the way you did.
There ain't nothing wrong if you were a dude and you went to Cher.
That was shot on a battleship, USS Missouri.
Badass. Was that the same ship that the Village People did in the Navy on?
That our dads got fooled on?
Yeah.
Just
that
curious.
One. I know the Navy, after that video, felt a little duped when they found out what it was
all really?
About. Oh, really? Yeah.
And so did our dads.
Yeah, they weren't thrilled about it. They weren't thrilled about that.
Let's find out.
You're good. Thank you. In the meantime.
My dad drove me to Walmart to get the in the Navy video. I mean, the album.
Yeah. Jamal is in Southie today. Jamal.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up, man?
Different boat.
What's the difference between the receiver we got in the first round and DK? Because I really have my sights on DK, the one Seattle
picked
up that they
DK
traded.
DK Metcalf?
Yeah. I thought he'll be a perfect fit to replace the receiver role and also the tight end role.
I'd love to see more tape. Yeah, I'd love to see more tape on DK. And I just wonder if they think that, okay, we got Josh Gordon, so we already have our physical freak of nature on the outside, if he's cleared to play. I just wonder if they've seen some stuff in man-to-man where coverage is different in the National Football League. The ability to get hands on him and get leverage and jam him. Because this kid never really ran away, N'Keal Harry. He never really ran away from people when you watch some of his highlights. He reminds me of a bigger, stronger version of Malcolm Mitchell, if that makes sense. Malcolm's smaller than you think. I thought Malcolm was tall because he played big. You know, he had the big hands and he would catch everything. This guy will compete and catch for the football. He's got good size. But I just think Metcalf is just such a physical freak that almost, do they look at him and say, maybe he's too big?
He's a physical freak, but did you see the graphic they showed?
What?
He ran a slower three cone than Tom Brady and a slower 20-yard shuttle than Tom Brady.
And that doesn't work in his offense. Yeah.
Yeah, he's also prone to injury, and he's yoked out of his mind, which is going to, again, come back to the, is he going to be durable looking like that? You know, he needs a little more pliability. He should learn
perfect
a little
for
something.
Pete Carroll.
He should learn a little
did you
something
see Pete
from
take his shirt off at the combine.
Yeah, right? I did.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I did. Did you actually hear what Pete Carroll said about the interaction though, which I found strange?
No.
So he got interviewed by his people in Seattle, right? The media out there, and he said, yeah. He goes, well, he came into the interview, and this is before they released the video. So if you don't know the story, DK Metcalf came into his combine interview with the Seahawks with his shirt off,
right?
And Pete Carroll then took his shirt off. But the video was not out until after they picked him on what night? Friday night, second
Friday
round.
Yeah.
And so he tells everyone after they draft him in his press conference out in Seattle, and they're like, ha, ha, ha. And he's like, yeah, no, I actually took my shirt off. And they thought it was a joke at first. And he said, no. He said he came in with his shirt off, and I was actually sort of pissed off about it. And I'm thinking to myself, that's how Pete Carroll shows how he's pissed off? He goes, I was sort of pissed that he did that. And then I played along and I took my shirt off. He was actually not that thrilled about it.
Well, supposedly somebody that knows one of DK's guys that works for Seattle wanted to play a joke, not play a joke on Pete, but like set Pete up on it. So, I mean, Pete needs to relax a little bit on that, but I thought Pete played it off well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have him, Pete. All you. I think just based on the server, I just think the Patriots got a better guy.
I'll take the leaner, more physical version. If that makes any sense. Like, this kid looks good on tape. He really does. I just never thought they'd pick a guy to number one. I never did. Never thought they'd draft a receiver in the first round.
Chad in Medford is upset about the Patriots drafting the punter in the fifth round.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
What do you got, Chad?
That the kid, Billy. They could have got him, what, in the sixth, seventh round as a free agent. I mean, don't get me wrong. We know the draft's a crapshoot. But there was a lot of tight ends drafted after this kid. I mean, you got the kid Sweeney from BC. You got Nada from Georgia. You got the kid Mack from Notre Dame. Cade Smith from Stanford.
Look at you knowing your draft.
Player, Mr. Irrelevant, Caleb Wilson was fourth or fifth in Mel Kiper's tight end friggin' picks. I mean,
did Felger Mass do a punter big board? Did they do one of those?
No, I don't think so. But they play pretty good, though, huh? Would they get two of them yesterday with Harry and friggin' Johnson? Two more on the big board?
Yeah, friggin' Johnson. That's right.
Yeah, two of them. Wow.
Joe Juwan.
All right, Chad, you know what? Now that I look back, the Patriots have had some guys that have hit in the fifth round. Last year, they got Juwan Bentley in the fifth round. That looks like a good pick.
Is that Joe Juwan?
No, that's Juwan. Juwan. Not Juwan. Juwan.
Okay.
The last time they had a fifth round pick before that was 2015. They had Joe Cardona.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. 2011, they drafted Marcus Cannon and a tight end named Lee Smith. Don't remember him.
I remember him.
2010, they drafted a punter in the fifth round, Zoltan Mesko.
Oh, Zoltan.
Zoltan.
They drafted a tackle in 2009 in the fifth round, George Bussey. Matthew Slater was a fifth round pick. Mm. 2006, they drafted Ryan O'Callaghan. He played a little bit here.
I remember him.
Linebacker Ryan Claridge in 2005. Don't remember him.
Nope.
PK Sam was a fifth round pick in 2004. He was a fun guy to follow in camp. Dan Copen was a fifth round pick in 2003.
Great pick. Impressive.
Hakeem Akbar was a fifth round pick in 2001. In 2000, the fifth round picks were Dave Stachowski, tight end, and Jeff Marriott. And in 99, that's pre-Belichick, but it was Derek Fletcher, a tackle. So you know what? There's some guys in there. Maybe I need to change my position on this. They wasted a pick on a punter.
They could have traded it, too. That's my big point. Maybe if they didn't take it, they could have. Haven't they traded fifth-rounders in the past for like guys like Patterson?
Yeah, just going on that list.
They traded fourth-rounder for Randy Moss.
Look at all the guys. Look at all the years they didn't have a fifth-round pick. What's with them in the fifth round? They don't like it?
Isn't that the Van Noy? Like, I feel like they trade their fifth-rounders for guys every year.
So why not trade it instead of wasting it on a punter?
Like I said, it's a sign.
That he's a kickoff guy. That they could keep him around.
It's kind of weird he said that.
Have him be the punter in training for a year while also being the kickoff guy.
See, booms it in camp, and they look at view Ryan Allen as expendable. See, I look at him. I mean, Ryan kicked his ass off for this team. I thought, you know, if he didn't have that weapon at times in the playoffs, I think he might have been in trouble.
So you think if he's good enough in camp, they'll just cut Ryan Allen and move on?
You only got a game $100,000 signing bonus. Weird deal. One-year deal, $100,000 signing bonus.
All right.
A guy that looks like he gives you some value.
All right, so maybe Ryan Allen's
that was
in trouble.
But
that's a head-scratcher given the performance you just got out of Ryan Allen in the most important time of the year.
Yeah. Pressure.
Super Bowl. Remember that? Yeah. Remember that game?
Oh, yeah.
He was pretty good,
wasn't
he? Those
are fun games to kick in when it's tight. Yeah.
Pretty good player. Tommy and Milton on the Bruins and the Patriots. Hi, Tommy.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Great.
Hey, listen. I just want to say, you guys, I appreciate your objectivity on Saturday night's game because, you know, so many people just want to blame the referees. Marshawn's stupid penalty at the end of that period, one of the periods there where he got the cross-checking. It's just, you know, Beatle, you were right a couple of months ago when you said the things he's done. He's on the referee's radar all the time.
How about when he stepped on a stick and broke it? Did you see that?
It was stupid. That's so unprofessional. That's so unprofessional. And you know, and I believe, you know, I think we're underestimating Sergei Bobrovsky's performance. I mean, if it wasn't for him, the Bruins do go to a 2-0 lead. There's not a question about that, especially with the saves he made on Bergeron in the overtime. That was unbelievable.
Well, Bergeron had a tough time getting that on his stick, too, though. You know?
Yeah, I mean, but you know what, though?
On the first one, you're right.
That puck was moving, man. Yeah, true.
Make it.
Yep.
And then one other thing on the Bruins before I get to the Patriots.
Sure.
What Columbus, they're not powerful up front like Toronto was, but you know what? Columbus will initiate the contact. Toronto wants nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. That's why Toronto lost the series.
Yeah.
They had great, great foes, but you know what? They're afraid to be hit, and the Bruins know it. So, you know, on the Patriots draft, I read a lot of reviews on it. I think they did a damn good, I think they did a good job. I really, really do. I like what they did. I would have liked to see the tight end. I don't mind the kid from Auburn on the fourth round or whatever it was, but I think they've addressed some needs, and I like that kid, Taylor from Vanderbilt. I think
Williams.
He reminds me a lot of Stephon
Jawan Taylor, Jawan Johnson, Jawan Williams. Yep.
Right. He reminds me of Stephon Gilmore.
Sure does.
He's big. He's got really good size, really big frame. He's
a defensive back version of Larry Fitzgerald.
He's unique in a way in that he's giant and he can move pretty well.
It looks like a man when he was drafted, just like tight suit, just like all well put together, and seems like a consummate pro, and just gets it. Perfect Patriot. More so perfect Patriot than the receiver pick. I love the emotion of the receiver with his family. And he gets drafted, and he's talking to coach, and he's smiling. He's like, I got this, and then he breaks down with his mom. That's a nice little moment there. Kid's excited to come here.
Did you see the Winovich one?
Oh, did I ever?
Yes.
It's Massachusetts calling. It's Massachusetts.
Patriots. It was like, I don't know if it's his dad or relative, whoever it is.
He played Thomas Jefferson, my high school rival. And I played against his high school coach, who was Bill Chirpak. He played when I played. He went to Pitt, got hurt. But he's his high school coach. And a guy ended up going to West Virginia. So he's got some good football background.
Tell you what. Show
Western
that,
PA roots.
That whole house of Winoviches.
Yep. Bunch
on
of hunkies.
Friday night.
Good hunkies.
That's a bunch of Stillers fans.
Yep.
Right? That
That's
whole
right.
house.
They probably got that. They probably
all
got
just
those,
converted.
They got a bat. They got one of those banners still hanging on our front perch. Stiller Country.
Stiller Country.
Stiller Country.
Yeah. Not
How
anymore.
Yun's doing?
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Yun's need to get a new sign.
Yeah. Yun's are coming here open at night. How about that?
Yeah.
Get your ass handed to you.
Yun's need a new sign out there in the garage.
Yeah.
You just made a. You just had a huge. Everyone's a convert now down there.
They sure are.
The Winoviches are now Patriot fans.
Winoviches.
They look plenty happy with their kid getting picked by the Patriots.
Yeah, they're not going to go to the Penny Social down at the church function hall. They're not going to be invited to the Hunky Fest. It's Winovich. Love it.
Nick,
love it.
Nick's in Plymouth. Hi, Nick.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to know, you guys were talking last week about the contracts that were going on for QBs and the potential of trying to get the 2 year for 50 for Brady. Is there a way to get him in on some type of, you have to show up for the OTAs as a bonus so that way he can work with all these guys? Because obviously this QB is not going to be the Garoppolo effect.
Nope. I think that time came and went, but I think he may be open to come into the back end of the OTAs to work with the team periods. I think that may change this year. I think some things have changed. And he's going to the Kentucky Derby this weekend, something he didn't do last year.
Hanging out
with all his bros again.
Because I know that there's always been weird clauses, like workout clauses, showing up for so many practices and anything. There's nothing that they would do for OTA.
I don't think that
we would try to push it.
It's a guy 20 years in, and everything he's done, I don't think they're going to hold that over his head at this point. You really want to piss him off. Try sliding that one in. I just don't see that happening. That bridge, they crossed that bridge last year. That thing's gone. He does what he wants now.
Speaking of the Pats draft, we have a special read and react today. We did one on Friday. Let's do one today as
Love
well.
We're
covering the Patriots draft and all the sound from the Patriots draft over the weekend. We'll do that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub. It's time to read.
Strap yourself in, Hardy.
And react.
I'm reading the jello pudding.
With Zolak and Bertrand.
To the window! To the wall!
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Did you see him beat off that shark?
Sure did.
You said you would do it. You said you would do it.
All right, read and react, gentlemen. You ready?
Yeah. I like this. This is good.
Middle! I'm ready. I said I was ready.
Read.
React.
I actually saw a lot of those guys there the other night.
Patriots second-round pick Joe Juwan Williams, as he's referred to by Felger MS, told the media. Actually, just Michael Felger, told the media what his plans were for his post-playing career. So he's already talking about what he's going to do when he's done playing.
Seems a little early for that.
I want to be a coach after this game is over with. And so this is just helping me get to that level before I become like a GA or intern. So I don't have to scram for, everything, this is football, something I love doing. I've been doing it since I was five. I watch film like I watch Game of Thrones or something, man. but that's just who I am. Football runs in my blood, and that's definitely how I work.
He is such a patriot. Oh my god. Oh my god.
Especially
do you think he told Bill this when they, whoever he met with from the Patriots pre-draft? You want to be a player coach? We got some openings on the staff, kid.
Like, I don't. And maybe this works because of, like, all the Brady pictures now where they take Brady's head and put him on this supposed, I guess, Viking king with all the Super Bowl trophies and the swords. The Game of Thrones thing, which I've never watched. So I don't really know how it applies, but this guy must be badass.
Does he watch Game of Thrones? That's what he said.
No. I mean,
he said, I watch game tape like, you know, Game of Thrones. Like, do you also watch Game of Thrones?
I hope he likes Game of Thrones because that means he likes game tape.
I think he's into it like people are into Game of Thrones.
Well, maybe he's into both.
How much time do you have?
I loves game tape.
I watched a little Game of Thrones the other night. I never watched it. I'm like, I'm going to see what all the hullabaloo is about.
How long did it last?
Like 5 minutes.
A lot of snow.
I watched for like 5 minutes, and then I turned away. I came back, and it was like the same group of people like drinking around a fire.
Yeah.
But except there were just more people drinking around the fire. I'm like, this seems really boring.
It seems like it's the same setting every scene. The sun's never out.
Is this you mocking Game of Thrones again?
My wife has made me try to watch it. And every time I watch, I'm like,
have you ever watched it?
I'll last three minutes. I'm sitting there, tap my foot. Who?
Like, yeah, it's dark because winter's here, so.
What?
Yeah. That's what they say. Winter is here.
So much for the Night King, huh? Mm-hmm.
What do you think he did?
I don't know.
React.
All right. Pats drafted a Michigan player, Wolverine defensive end Chase Winovich, third round. Here's his post-draft conference call. Chase?
Did you have any pre-draft contact with the Patriots, and if so, what did that entail?
I didn't have too many, interactions with the Patriots, but I did have some. It was in relatively limited capacity, but, I'd rather just wait to dive into that further until I receive further instructions on how much information.
Oh my God! Talk about a Patriot.
Another one.
I like him. Could you go Another back one. To that? Is that my man Will the Thrill asking a question?
Oh,
William Benenson.
Did you have any pre-draft contact with the Patriots, and if so, what did that entail?
No, that's not him.
It's Chris Price.
Oh.
Never mind.
Yep. You know that Winovich once dated Madonna's daughter, Lourdes. They're in college.
Makes sense.
Yep.
Rochester girl, I'm guessing.
This kid looks nuts, which I like.
That's where Madonna was from, Rochester Hills.
We need more personality, and No,
I think she's a, like, L.A. girl who then went to the University of Michigan.
She probably stayed in the hometown. They probably bought the parents. They probably bought the, you know.
You think Madonna paid to get her in?
You buy the house you grew up in.
The Full House.
I don't think that's what Madonna did.
I'm pretty sure that's what
she did. Full House woman?
What?
The woman from Full House paid to get her kid in.
Oh, yeah. Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. How come Madonna hasn't been tied up in that yet?
Yeah.
All right.
Hello. She's got a British accent. I'm not from Britain.
Chase also describes
a
culinary experience he had when he was a young man.
Chase, I hear you once ate a live fish. Can you tell me the story there?
I once ate a live fish. I was a really, really young kid. I think I was in like fifth or sixth grade, and I was real into Bear Grylls at the time. So,
yes!
$20 at that point in my life was.
I think a Bear Grylls has been around for like the last 3 or 4 years, but he really don't have to go back that far. So, what he's been around for like.
Do you know that dude?
This kid's like 20. How old is this kid?
Bear Grylls.
Winovich. How old is Winovich?
Bear Grylls is one of those dudes that like, he drinks his own urine, which is weird.
Well,
like,
you got to do what you got to do in survival, man.
That's what he said.
Okay, all right. Winovich is 24. So 10 years ago,
sixth grade?
He was in middle school.
He got an injury exemption, didn't he?
He said sixth grade, so that's 11?
Yeah.
12.
Wow.
I was watching. A lot of money, and so I did. So now, it's, I think, you know, today I might have made a little more than $20, but I'm just thankful. So at the end of the day.
Thankful? Is he still talking about the fish?
We're thankful for what? What is he thankful for?
Hold on. Back it up. Back it up.
At the time. So $20 at that point in my life was a lot of money. And
oh, someone dared him. Someone bet him $20.
Yeah, $20 and he ate the fish alive.
I did. So now it's, I think, you know, today I might have made a little more than $20, but I'm just thankful. So at the end of the day, I ate it and I'm never going to eat one again, but I crossed that one off the list of things I've done in my life for sure.
What happened after you ate it? Did it settle down nice or how'd things go?
No,
who's a hockey writer, eh? Who's a hockey writer?
I coughed it up and, the blood was pretty not good tasting, you could say.
Did you get the $20?
I did get the $20 though. So that it was at least worth that, I guess. But the value of a dollar, I definitely learned it in that moment.
Who hasn't eaten a goldfish though?
I've never eaten a goldfish.
Alive?
Yeah.
You swallowed a goldfish?
No kidding. Once in college, yeah.
What are you, an Animal House?
I got to say.
Well, it was college.
Story in my family.
It's like a mini goldfish.
Down in the house?
They die right away.
One of my great aunts did it on a dare at a wedding about 20 years ago.
There you go. Look at
a wedding, there was a fish tank.
Freaking Quincy.
They dared her. Quincy. And she did it.
Quincy.
She was a legend.
What's her name? Helga?
And I'm fucking the radio station back and forth.
Ken. I wonder what Ken thought of the draft.
Patriots also took an offensive lineman from Arkansas. Yelda Froholt.
Yelda Frukenfish.
Denmark, we're calling him.
Fourth round.
Yeah. Yelga Donkenchinches.
Wasn't necessarily setting his sights on an NFL career as a child, though.
Yelda, I read that you wanted to be an art thief when you were little. Is that still in the cards?
If I was want to be a what?
Art thief?
An art...
There's a story on you out there that when you were a kid.
Burglar in France. Specifically in France. I don't know why. Me and my childhood friend Carl, we wanted to be burglars in France. And then, you know, you grow up and figure out that that's not really, it's kind of frowned upon. So obviously, the dream changed. I think my mom saw some paintings of me, stick figures, stealing diamonds in France.
I like that story better than eating alive fish.
I'd rather watch the Pierce Brosnan movies. He's an art thief, plays an art thief.
How about the Sean Connery and Catherine Zeta-Jones?
That's another good one. That's she had to do entrapment. With all the lasers when she was walking.
She had to make
sure that you duck down far enough to when we cut the wire at the same time. You do it on the count of three. And I would go one, two, three. We cut on three. That was when...
Verbatim, according to the script.
No. Amazing. That was in The Hangover.
Amazing.
Nah, because Chow had that house in The Hangover. He's like, this is my house, and we're going to cut it. Fat boy.
Fat boy.
Yeah. Alan.
Three. Yes, young guys.
How's those young guys last night? I like that turnover by Coyle. He's a young guy. Jesus.
That was two nights ago now. Thank God. I was in no condition to do this show yesterday. That's for sure.
So you would have had to push through it, huh?
Yeah, would have to push through.
That's nice.
Absolutely so.
You know what I love is like when everybody takes the kids to the boxes and parents are having a good time. Yeah. All the kids run around the hallway and play tackle football outside. I'm like, what the hell are you kids doing? Time to bed.
So engaged in some of that.
I told a kid, wrap that kid's legs up. He'll go down.
Was the crowd not loud enough on Saturday night? In fact, the Columbus Blue Jackets have started to criticize the Boston crowd. Let's discuss that. You'll hear from a member of the Blue Jackets on Bruins fans. We'll do it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Well, you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again.
This was a sellout crowd, and now as this game wears on, we do see some empty yellow and black seats here in the building. Jones gets tripped, and a penalty's coming. And it's Bergeron that's going to the penalty box.
Can you even imagine what it's going to be like in Game 3, the atmosphere in that building?
I can tell you, I know it's going to be a hell of a lot louder than it was here in Boston.
Within the sound of silence, in restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone.
Probably their best work ever.
You think so?
This is a good one. Yeah. It's hard to top.
You think Sound of Silence from Simon and Garfunkel is one of their best songs?
Collaborate? Yeah.
Oh.
Huh. I haven't heard that before.
Well, that's a reach, huh? Yeah. You're being an a-hole right now.
Sort of silent at the Garden.
Oh, really?
First couple of games, wouldn't you say?
I thought the place was lit. Maybe that was part of the problem. I think maybe they were too lit from the day. 10,000 people, maybe
more. Wow, we sounded just like Paul and Art there for a second.
Nope.
I don't think you did.
And the original, by the way, just the original, what was it? Sounds of Sunday song. That was a Zoan Hardy duo.
I'll tell you what, we'll be playing that one coming up in an hour.
Oh, whoa!
Yeah, we've got a bonus off-season Sounds of Sunday.
Hardy, did you think it was a weekend? Think there was a crowd issue the other
you
night?
You think that the crowd was a bit of a problem?
Maybe we need to welcome Columbus a little bit better next time.
I would just say
I think everybody got a little sleepy in that second period, team included.
It felt, and as Beadle called it, at the beginning of that third period, felt like you're in the middle of a slugfest and this thing was going to get ready to drag. I think people got drugged down a little bit.
Trying to conserve their energy for the overtime periods or maybe just the drive home?
Well, I think you start looking at your watch and it's 11:30, 11:35, thinking, okay, we got two kids, what are we going to do here? Yeah.
I don't want to fall asleep at the wheel.
The drive home.
Who knows how many cocktails you had before you even went into the games?
It's not like you were ever going to end this thing on a shootout. You know? This thing's going sudden death as long as we need to play.
And, you know, game 7 of the Toronto series, the place was absolutely lit. You know, it's 7th game. It's everything you want it to be.
It's game 2. It's Saturday night.
That's how I feel.
Crowd.
Yeah.
Easy.
You know what it is?
Easy. You know what it is?
It's the opponent. It's you.
Thank you.
It's you.
I was just getting ready to say it. First of all, you're Columbus, okay? This is all new to you. Nice little team you got there. Dig your coach. He's cool. He's a little roughneck. Tortorella, we like him. This is all new to you. We've been there, done it. We've been there round 2.
It's part of the problem, isn't it?
You know what I mean? Yes!
I can't waste all my energy on a game 1 or game 2 in the second round. We got a long way to go here.
We got Dubinsky. We got kids tomorrow. We got games stacked up. It's been raining here. We got double headers out of the wazoo. We need to balance our weekends a little bit. We just invested 3.5 hours with the Bronx.
So Dubinsky said, well, you know what? It's heard a lot louder back there for game 3 than it was for game 2. Yeah, probably right.
Yeah.
Yep. Because, you know, you haven't done it before, Columbus.
No.
We've done it before. Maybe it's part of the problem. Maybe it's hard.
This is like the whole thing.
We do a lot of damn winning around here.
I got criticized last week for requesting the destruction of Felger's glass behind him. Because people responded on Twitter and that in the post game saying, hey, chill out, wait till the cup finals, then we'll get him.
I know, I heard that.
We have a process here that we need. Sorry.
We're building up, so.
Let me pump the brakes for getting excited. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's probably right. I didn't think that the Garden was all that amped for the game on Saturday.
It's a good look with the towels in that. I think there's a problem when you pass the towels out. Anytime you have shakers and towels.
That's a problem?
It's one hand.
That means hands aren't clapping together.
Oh, that's true, too.
You're not stomping. You're not going, oh, stand, you know. It's like, stand there and do that. How much noise is
there? There's no noise from a towel.
You could have got him going, Zoe. Get him going. You're there. You're at the game.
It's game 2, round 2. Relax.
You guys, but it's your fault.
Not my fault.
You weren't loud enough.
Hardy, was I loud enough to the point Hardy started yelling at me? Relax. I was yelling, punch him in the head.
You're yelling, Hardy yelled at you to quiet down?
We are bad fans.
No. Well, okay. Those guys tell the guy in front of him to sit
Hardy
down.
We're in the wine and cheese department of the Garden.
I'm standing there. I'm watching the game. And Zoe, do you want to know? Here's the first time Zoe watched the game all night. Because he's talking and he's being Zoe. And he's just talking to everybody else. And when Krug starts getting into it, he leans over my shoulder, you know, bends down and gets right in my ear. Hit him!
Was that like the end of the second period?
And he wasn't even yelling it down at the ice.
What was that?
He's yelling it at Brozo to get excited because there's a fight. So it's really Zoe yelling at his kid to yell at the guys fighting down the ice. So I So I'm like, this is the one time you pay attention all night. It's got to be when you're standing like right behind me and yell down and start screaming in my ear. So yeah, I elbowed him in the stomach to get him to shut up. Go yell.
You didn't talk
else.
To him the rest of the night?
I said, I'm going to go down the park. Down here. I'll yell down there. People like yelling down there.
I went with you. I went with you. We didn't do any yelling down
there
either.
You sure did.
So went to,
I'm going to go into the raw bar and order some oysters. I'm
going
to have some oysters. A little crackers and bring some of that horseradish, a little water, some lemon. It's nice. It's nice. I shut it down at that point. It's some oysters.
I think the towels are a problem. How about the oysters?
Oysters.
Jim, nice. Hey, Jim, you ever been to a hockey game when they do the seafood tower?
No.
Sliced shrimp and crab.
No, nobody else has.
It's nice. This is very nice here. We met some nice friends from Cohasset.
I couldn't believe
Barely
it.
Barely went to a hockey game.
Our good friends from Cohasset?
Yeah, we did. We met some nice guys there. One from Cohasset.
Yeah.
One who's a former Quincy guy, now lives in Hingham. Gave him a lot of crap for that.
If you think the crowd was quiet, maybe you could lead by example next time you go to a hockey game, watch the hockey game. I'm just saying.
I don't think we were in a position to be any louder than we were.
I thought we did the best we could.
No. I went home feeling just fine.
I'm not disappointed in my night.
I understand you had a good time.
Nice seeing our guy,
We met a couple of really nice ladies next door.
Sure did. Peter was very gracious.
Yeah, I mean,
it's nice we could knock out a wall in that booth.
Women of the night.
We were trying to plan the booth like structure where we could combine both booths and knock out a wall. Peter wanted to knock out the one wall.
Yeah, we needed an adjoining door there, like you get adjoining hotel rooms.
Oh, that would be nice.
A lock up top.
Yeah.
You put your kids.
Well, either side.
Kids in one box.
Can lock it if you want to. Yes. But for the most part, leave that thing open.
Yeah. It's a real community feel there.
Swinging door right there.
Everybody sharing and being together.
Door. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, a friend of mine just texted and said, were you shopping in the luxury section pro shop?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I took Sam down.
Yeah, that was in between periods. So.
Brian said, I said hi to him. He wiped his nose, then shook my hand. Now I have a cold.
Sorry about that. He did. He complained.
I believe it, though.
Do you remember him when you saw him?
Yeah, because I came out of the bathroom.
Wait, your friend Brian that we know?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Tell him it wasn't.
Zoe wiped his nose, shook his hand, and now he has a cold.
No, Sam and I went down to the pro shop at the luxury level, and we both hit the restroom. Outside it, I came out, and I was still, there was no paper towels, so I was still wet from washing my hands. I was not snot.
Okay.
Can we? Tell him he didn't
As long as we're telling all secrets.
Sure, why not?
This was by far and away the worst part of the night. Like a salsa tower, right? You got the salsa.
I know what you're about to tell me.
Corn at the top.
Okay.
So
there's this like corn salsa at the top of this salsa tower.
I think Jim will find this funny.
And there is a spoon in there, a plastic spoon.
In all three levels.
Right, all three levels.
The corn, the regular salsa. What else was in there? Guacamole?
I just used the top.
Took a spoonful of corn, stuck it in his mouth, put it back in there. Stuck another spoonful in his mouth.
The whole thing of corn.
And then put the spoon back in there and walked away. So I walk over and I'm like, Jesus Jones. I take the spoon out. I throw it away. I get a fresh spoon out of the thing. 90 seconds later, he comes back. But this time, he holds up a tortilla chip on the side of his mouth. So when he shovels the corn in with his mouth, it's like we can't see it. Yeah, it's like in the old movies, you know, when they go into the speakeasy and they hold their hat up when they're taking a drink in the middle of the day.
It's like that play caller sheet. He holds his play caller sheet up so you can't read his lips.
He's holding the chip in either
an effort to shield what he's doing or to make people think that maybe he's just spooning it out of the chip. He just likes to do it real close to his mouth. And then he sticks the spoon back in there again. I'm like, would you stop it?
I wasn't going to stop eating it. It's good.
Why don't you take a plate? If you just want to eat the water, then take one of the plates
order the pizza
and
there.
Dish it on there. And you then
wouldn't
eat
order
like
the
that.
Pizza?
Pizza's like a little thin, not enough cheese on it. It's very thin. I'd go more hot dogs. Caesar salad was nice. Wings were good.
Clients. Kind of nice people.
People that spend
Clean
money.
People. Don't want to
people
get
that support us in our families.
Right.
Yeah. Love them.
Support this show, this station.
He's in there.
Big fans of the show.
Corn salsa like a bowl of cornflakes. Don't do that.
Where's the shrimp? There's more shrimp in there.
The shrimp was at the raw bar.
That was good shrimp. I'll tell you what. It's because it's Boston. We're on the water. You got nice, good seafood.
Yes.
I've heard that.
I was impressed with
good
that.
Good seafood.
That's true.
You can have on the ocean, you
can usually get fresh seafood.
You can have
seafood.
Some crap oysters, man. People sell bad oysters. Those were good oysters there. They did a nice job. Real nice job.
Just one came back up just now.
And then the
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.